If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Passion Vista Podcast. I'm Neetu Singh and we have with us Niharika Singh, hailing from Kanpur. Her journey is a harmonious blend of sports, piano melodies, an ardent love for Kathak and Indian classical music. From excelling in academics to thriving as an instrumental and control engineer, Niharika's story took a fascinating turn when she chose to pursue MS in biomedical engineering at University of Southern California, USA. Her story and experiences are undoubtedly worth sharing. We are extremely excited and elated to have her live with us on the show. Hi, Niharika. Very warm welcome to Passion Vista Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Neetu. I am so privileged to be on your podcast, and it's not normal for me. This is my first podcast, so it would be very special for me. So thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. You're absolutely welcome. And we are very glad to announce that Niharika has been featured with Passion Vista into Hall of Fame 2024. Congratulations to you, Niharika. We are very sure that our viewers will be loving to read about you and know more about you and your journey to, you know, that you've lived beautifully till now.
Sure. Stage is all yours.
So we would like to know, Niharika, that how has your journey from Kanpur to becoming an engineer, scientist, and now a life coach? So how has this pivotal moments define your path?
Sure. So the first and the foremost thing is I've never thought to become any of these, to be very honest. So I've been in the flow to whatever opportunity has been given to me and using that to the best of my potential. So when I was a kid, my mom put me into a dance school and she was the one who acknowledged me that, okay, you dance great. And if you're given some formal training, you can become a great dancer. So my focus was always on performing the best to my ability. So I learned like multiple dances from classical to like Western. And I was very young. I was 6-7 years. So I was so young, and for the first time when I stepped on the stage, I won the first prize in the duet performance. So that was an eye-opener for us, and the journey continued. And then after a few years, I became the best dancer in Kanpur. I was well-renowned as a dancer, known to the people,
wonderful,
published in like newspaper, famous. But at that time, fame and name didn't mean anything to me, because as a child, I was just performing my job. I didn't really know like what does it mean to the world anymore, right? But yes, I remember very sharply that every morning I used to get up and I used to count my trophies, the number of trophies, and I don't know why I did that. So,
certainly, it's to get more trophies.
Maybe.
So that if you'll have that aim, then you'll be getting more.
Maybe.
More.
I like that showcase of those trophies, right? And clicking of the photos. Maybe that way. So I was also learning Indian classical music, and I was doing diploma in Indian classical music. Then suddenly what happened is my dad got transferred to Uttarakhand, and we had to shift places. I was in class 8, and when I came to Dehradun, my mom actually searched for good dance classes, and we couldn't find good dance classes because Dehradun was not quite developed at that time. It was still developing and still a part of, like, I would say, Uttar Pradesh. And then my focus actually shifted to studies, academics. And then I wanted to do good in academics.
So we would like to know, Niharika, how did your passion for dance and music influence your professional choices and personal growth?
So when I was a kid, I was literally put in a dance class just for dancing as a hobby. Like, there are kids who do something in their free hours, so my mom had to put me in a dance class. So I started to dance, and my dance teacher and my mom, then they saw, okay, I was a wonderful dancer, because I used to, I think, dance very naturally. If my dance teacher used to teach me something, I used to just pick up like that. And that is when my parents understood, okay, she can grasp things very well. So the journey went from the age when I was 6 to like certainly 11 or 12 years. But I remember counting my trophies every day. And I also remember the first time when I was on the stage in a duet dance, we won the first prize. So also we inculcated the classical dancing together and towards the professional journey of classical dancing. So I was learning Bharatanatyam in my school. I was learning Kathak in evening classes. I was also learning folk dances. I was also learning Western dances. I was learning everything. So, but at the same time, I was studying also, because I was just a little kid, right? But there was no attachment of me towards dancing or playing sports or anything. I just did that to the best of my ability, just to do that thing. No attachment to words, because I didn't know what a photograph me or of me being put in the newspaper like means. I didn't know what is the meaning to get a trophy in a school or to also become best dancer in Kanpur. I didn't know any of this. So this journey continued, and when I was in class 8, my dad got transferred from Kanpur to Dehradun, and we moved. So my family moved, and my mom literally wanted me to continue my dance journey, but fortunately or unfortunately, it didn't happen, because there were no good dance classes, and even if they were, to go too far away from me.
Yeah.
So what happened is, the peak of my dance journey just became zero, and I turned towards education, and that was my focus. That I became a studious student. And then there was a ceremony in our school. The school was new, and the children who excelled, they were getting awards. So in my mind, the idea was, now I have to get this. I have to be on this stage now.
This
so that was my motivation. I started to study well, really well, like all the time. Studying and obviously doing sports, but dancing was nowhere. And I didn't feel like to dance also. Like, students can dance individually by themselves, right? I didn't try that. What I tried is, there was an annual function in which like the screening was going on for students. So I went to that dance audition, and I was kicked out of that dance audition. So the teacher told me that, you don't know how to dance. And that came on my ego. I cried all day, saying to my mom, like, how can they say that I don't know how to dance? And I didn't know the reason why this was happening. Again, the focus shifted back to studies. Then I started to excel in those. So till class 10th, I think it was great. And then we obviously have to have a choice between maths and bio as an Indian education system. So being very good at bio, I left that out. I chose mathematics. And in 11th, I flunked. And when I flung in my pre-boards, I think captured the moments of resilience and persistence just from the musical lessons and self-study lessons and dancing lessons that I have learned in my childhood, because I learned how to perceive, how to learn and grasp things from my extracurricular like hobbies that I was bringing back to my studies. So the pattern of my mind was already built in my childhood. I was using that pattern in my academics now. Then 12th happened, all good. Then I came to my dad is an engineer, and I already left the door of being a doctor behind, right? So my choice was, okay, I'll become an engineer. So I gave my competitive exams. I was admitted to a university that was like Uttar Pradesh Technical University, but it was not that great of a university that a scholar would get, right? So I accepted that, and I chose from all the choices, I went to UPT, that is Uttar Pradesh Technical University. I started to study, but there I also played badminton. I also danced, and I made a lot of friends. And at that time, what happened is my education or my scores were not coming to that potential where I saw myself. And that was discouraging. And something good about me is when I don't see my career going good, I leave everything else. I don't care about everything else because my focus is shifted and it's not point laser point focus. So at that time, I also sacrificed my dancing. I said, no, this is not the right time to pick up dancing again. And that happened because the scores were not bad, but they were pretty bad in my third semester. So I said to myself, this is not Niharika Singh. She has to come up to the level where she sees herself. So next day, library, 10 o'clock till 6 p.m. late at night. I was just there. Try to understand what I can do right, from where I can study things. And that was the point I actually started to study from the books that were internationally recognized and internationally written. I did study from the Indian curriculum, but I also used those books so that I can grasp the basics very well. And I clearly knew that if I study in this education system, I am not getting what would give me the best in my career. I have to reach at some place, so I have to give up at certain things, but I have to also do certain things which are like extraordinary. I think it was coming naturally to me when I went to the library, the books were already there. So I studied from everything and I didn't mug up. And that was a very good thing that has always happened to me. So it was like intelligence being used in your own self-study, and that level was so strong that I used to question everything. Even if the professor is not giving me anything, I used to go out and be very resourceful and find the answers to this. And suddenly after that third semester passed, I could see myself being a topper, but that was not my intent. My focus was on my studies. I have left those things behind. I was actually detached from that already and I didn't know that. My aim was to perform and study.
Correct.
Not look at different things. And by the time it was like my final year, I was confident enough that, okay, now my scores are good and I can do something in my career. And also at that time, I did perform like for dances in my college. Again, I became famous, but that time, that factor didn't hamper my education or academics.
Correct. So you've learned a balance between your career, your hobby, your passion, which I think is very important for everyone to learn, that how to balance and grow. And I think these challenging situations and ups and downs that we face are the moments that actually make you in your career, in your life, in the journey. Because if the life is plain, I don't think so it is as easy and as learning it could be. So I think you've been doing tremendously great job, Niharika.
It is also on the belief that I had in the universe, or I would say God. I had very firmly believed in God since my childhood days. So I'll tell you a very simple example. I had dreams which were bad in my childhood. I was 4 or 5 years, maybe younger than that. I don't remember. I used to pray to God every day to take care of me. And after a certain time, those dreams went away. That is how I developed on my faith on God. Like, if I tell him something that is happening to me, he will take care of that. And that faith went on dancing. Okay. My academics, whenever I failed, I didn't do good, or wherever, or if I had situations in my college which was not in my hand, I used to tell him that I don't know what is right or wrong, but I always kept myself pure at heart, and I didn't wanted to hurt anyone intentionally or unintentionally. But if somebody got hurt, I would say, okay, my bad, I didn't know how to tackle this. And I would leave it to God that he would show me some direction. So I think this was also a very strong point that helped me to go to where I was actually wanting to go. So the college ended and the next journey was what to do next. I didn't see myself to do a job, though I tried getting a job from on-campus placements, but I didn't get a job at that time. And as an Indian education system or Indian culture, MBA was seen as very uplifting job, or person can do very well if they do MBA at time, right, as a career. So I, as a girl, had a dream to do technical things in life, like very deeply technical things, not related to finance, not related to other things. But my parents wanted me to do MBA. And I said, at my heart, I know I am not doing MBA, but for you, I will try. Let's make an attempt. I made an attempt for, I think, 1.5 years. I couldn't get any good score. So again, I was in a situation where I was a topper in my college, but then nothing was happening on the other side. Why? The question was I not studying? Was my direction is wrong, or is something really wrong in my mindset, what I am doing? So I went into I would say I used to cry. I used to be very sad. But at the same time, I was like, how can I accomplish across this pressure? So I switched off my social media. That was the first. The second was, I used to be in my own zone, where I used to introspect, why is this not happening? I used to question God, to be honest. I used to go to him, why is this not happening? Why is there something wrong? How can I improve myself? So that 1.5 years, when I gave exams of not only MBA, I also gave my government exams. I studied for going into Navy. I gave those exams. I gave exams for banks. Nothing. All bad. So I thought maybe I should wait. But I didn't stop preparing. I didn't give up on studying.
Correct.
I didn't think, okay, I should do a job. No. I was in that phase and I was like, I have to crack those exams. Then luckily what happened is I went to meet my friend and she said she is giving GRE. So I didn't know what is GRE. I came back, I told my parents that she is giving GRE. So my mom encouraged me, like, you should give GRE, maybe. So I said, you won't send me outside this country. So she said, let's see what happens. So I prepared myself. Right. It was like 3 months. But when I picked that book to study, I got a feeling like, okay, I can crack this. Maybe the preparation that I had been doing was more than it was required for GRE. Maybe that was the case.
Correct.
So I gave that exam, GRE, and another story was there. When I sat for my GRE exam, the computer system went off. I clicked on the next button, the whole section was skipped, and I skipped the whole section. I was like,
oh my god, this, how did you do that?
So
then,
while I was in the exam, I went out to the authorities and I said, this has happened. They said, okay, we'll write a mail from your side. But I was so adamant that I don't know what you will write in the mail. You will say this is not your fault, but this is actually your fault. The mouse was not working properly. How would I give the exam? I made sure that whatever I want in the email, they write. So I stood on their head, literally. I made them write the email. I went back to give my exam. And after the exam ended, I said, I don't know, I have to give it once more. So I contacted with the authorities, the international authorities, stating the problem this has happened. And they gave me a free attempt. Luckily, and that was great, because GRE is not an economical exam, right? It requires some budgeting.
Correct.
So I gave an attempt after 15 days, but there was also English eligibility required. the minimum eligibility to
correct
say, crack an exam is 80. I got 79. And I was like, oh gosh, what is this happening? I did one more attempt. I again gave that exam. And after, by God's grace, I got cracked that up. And simultaneously, what good thing happened is, I got also like good scores in MBA for India. So that was also an option. So options okay. opened for me. And the time was ticking because the admissions correct. Had to be done in the US universities. So when I sat down to look at for my major in universities, I was planning for doing MIS, that is Management and Information Systems, equivalent to MBA. But when I sat down to literally find what is right and what is wrong, I came across a major which is biomedical engineering. And I thought, this is the right thing I should do. I should not go for MIS. So I prepared my applications for biomedical engineering. So my background, engineering background, was instrumentation and control. And biomedical engineering, they were little connected. And I thought this is the direction where I should go for bio, because I realized biology is still in my heart. Because I studied a subject back into my university that was biomedical engineering. So I said, I should go for this. So fast forward everything. I got admissions for top colleges and top MBA colleges in India. I got an admit from University of Southern California, and it was the only university I had applied. Because all the other universities, the top universities, the deadline has already passed. And there's no plan such correct. That I would apply. I went into the MBA college because I thought I can go to the US anytime in my life, and that's okay. And my parents also wanted me to correct. Be in India, so I said okay. But when I made a decision to go into MBA in India, my parents flipped. They said, you should go to USA. You should not study here. Because I think the universe or God gave them an indication that she is made for something else, maybe not MBA. But I said, no, okay, MBA. I went into MBA college, and that was a very classic college, like top-notch universities in India. I studied there for 2 months. My dad didn't stop the admission process for USA. I don't know why. But after 2 months, I told my dad and my mom, I'm not studying MBA anymore because I have made every effort to make myself understand accounting, finances, macroeconomics. I am not getting it. I've made an attempt. I made myself go to the library, ask my friends, this is not happening. So again, I take a risk. I took a risk. So after 2 months, I left MBA, and within like 15 days, I was in USA. It was very quick because I had already filed in my visa application before I had already booked my flight. I've done those, and I left it to God. Okay, I am doing this. And I withdrew my admission from MBA, and my visa happened. And within 15 days, I was in USA. So when I was there, again, a set of different challenges came up. But I had became mentally strong in handling those situations because I could take new changes head on now. I wasn't afraid of those things.
Correct.
I was the first child from my family to go into abroad. And it was an honor correct. For me, but it was a gift from God to me. Like, if you can struggle so much and if you are still persistent that you want to study in the top 10 universities, that time I thought India, but I got into top 10 universities of USA. I don't know how. But it was like a gift of persistence,
right.
my tears, my struggles, my prayers. I think everything came into picture, but when the result came, I think this all mattered. This all mattered
right.
and this what I had in my hand that time mattered. So, and I was told that with the score that you have got in GRE, you won't be able to get a good university. I said, no, no matter what, I have to apply. I applied, I got that. When I was in the university, I wanted to become not a scientist, but I wanted to go into R&D, R&D specifically. Because in India at that time, R&D was not that much of developed for biomedical instrumentation. So I said, now I am here, okay. I have to get on to something which is challenging for me and which requires my mind to get into use. Something new.
Correct.
So I went to a professor. The professor said, as an international student, it's not going to happen for you. I said, okay, no worries. And in that university, you don't get on-campus job. You have to scrunch out and aim to find a job to build a network. So you have to do it all yourself. You are in that ocean and you're doing everything by
yourself. Okay.
And it was not easy for a biomedical student, international student, to even get an internship. So, right. So, and I didn't know how to get it. My resume doesn't have any work experience of USA. There is a large gap and I don't know how to fill that. I started to talk to people who have already graduated. By finding great mentors, I understood that I have to go and work in labs. When I started to work in labs, I got fortunate and I got positions in two labs. Those started to build up my resume and my grades were already there. Now, I came to a point like, okay, you are not getting A grades, but at least B. So I sacrificed my grades because I had to work on this side only. Again, the journey came back to balance.
Correct.
What you can sacrifice and what you cannot. So my professor connected me to somebody and they were looking for an internship, like intern. So I went there, I said, if you pay me, it is okay. If you don't pay me, it is okay. But if you pay me, that will be good because my paperwork would get strong. So they paid me the minimum. I said, it's okay. I can do with this minimum, but I want to learn. That was my first thing that I said to, said that for internship. So I started to learn. And I was the only student in my friend circle who belonged to biomedical and they were all from computer science. They had not got an internship, but I was the one who had got an internship being an exception. So it was again a moment of not a triumph, but a uniqueness moment. Now I was about to graduate. Again, two doors opened for me. I wanted R&D. And the job that I got from the research institute where I was working as an intern, they gave me a job. But staying there, I understood that if I stay here for a full-time job, I would be burnt out because I'm not putting my mind. It is just cut, copy, paste. I cannot see myself.
Correct.
So I took a risk again.
Yeah.
After graduating, you get a full-time. This is a normal thing. Right? I took an internship for 6 months. But in a company that was giving me a pure research-based device, like internship, it was Genentech. It was very famous. And when the call came, I was excited, but I had not given a technical interview ever in my life. So when I gave that first interview, it was like I gave them the basics, but I didn't know if my answers were right or wrong. But I was selected and after that I came to know, okay, they were not looking for right and wrong. They were looking if you can put your mind and use your things well to the application. So that internship happened. Again came the visa issue. So the US territory is like, it's like a black box. You have not been told this thing when you are preparing for your career. So there is something known as training. Correct. Then you have to get onto visa. The visa has to be sponsored by the company. You cannot sponsor that visa. You have very limited time. And if you lose that job in between or if something terminates, you are just given like 2 months or 3 months. They're a different thing. And if you don't get another thing in between those days, then you have to move back. You cannot come back to you. So that pressure was always there. So 6 months internship I had, I don't know how, what happened. Somebody came on my last day of that finishing of internship. They gave me a new internship that was for 6 months. I was like, at the time with December, the jobs are not open and I don't have anything in hand. Thank you so much for this internship. Okay. Simultaneously, I did that 6 months internship and I was looking for a job. So when I was doing that internship, it ended and I didn't have anything in my hand. And I had an experience which was very devastating while I was looking for a job. So I had an interview call and I went to Nebraska. That is like a village. So I was living in San Francisco, top-notch city. I was sent to a village where there was a factory. I had never seen such kind of like a thing before in my life. And I gave I went to give the interview and literally it was like a 1 mile city. In that circle, you had a picture hall, movie theater, dentist, famous restaurant, and it ended. And it was the coldest region that US could ever have, one of those. And I was like, how would I survive with not anything around, no Indian food? Maybe food was not, but that atmosphere was like, how would I survive? Because I am very cheerful. Correct. This is very mundane. So that day also, I remember that was the worst cry that I could ever cry. It was very devastating. I came back from the interview and I prayed, God, please don't give me this. Even if few days are left, I don't want this. Please don't give me this. Okay, God heard me. And after a few days, I got a job which was not to my liking, but I said, okay, if I accept it, maybe after a few days I can change back to where I want to be. So I accepted that job and within 1 week, I knew this is not the right job. Yeah, Rekha, this is not the right job. Because you want to grow, right? And when a person wants to grow, they want to learn everything, right? And I was in between chemical engineers. I was in the research facility of chemicals. And I come from a background of devices. Right. So the choice was either to learn everything from scratch or to find the job.
Right.
I tried to learn everything from scratch, and that time I think it was not making sense. I told them I want to learn this, but it was completely misaligned, so they didn't also invest in me. The only option was, Niharika, you have to just find a new job, irrespective it is contract, irrespective it is full time. You have to move out from this. And you also have to find a visa sponsorship because you were in the last year of your dead end. So that job was not easy for me because it was like 2 hours away from my house. So 4 hours every day I used to spend to travel. I couldn't relocate to that place because nothing was promised. I didn't have any reason to move. So why would I move? And if I had moved, I would lose all cheerfulness that I have inside me. There's nothing there.
Correct. So what lessons have you learned from all these ups and downs? And of course, this evolved a lot of leadership, motivation to your own self. And I would say probably a self-talk, which you're continuously doing to your own self and to God, you know, trying to help you out in all these situations. So what lessons would you like to share with us?
My lessons were like, I had always been persistent before, but now my persistence was more harder. I didn't care about what people said, what they said on my face, like if you could get this or not. I didn't care about anything. I always listened to myself. I think that was my first lesson. The second thing is I discovered music therapy. Whenever I felt down, I used to listen to those music tracks that used to uplift me. The third thing was I learned a lesson that this was a phase. It will go away. If I had to do something, I would put in my hard work, I would trust my hard work and let everything else work for me. But I also learned there are infinite possibilities. If I was trying to do something and if I'm the only one trying to do this thing, that is okay, but I have to do this thing because it has to be by me.
Correct.
And you are all there by your own self in your tough times. There might be friends around you, there might be family around you, but you are the one who is breaking down. And all the times you cannot tell these things to your family because they don't want you to struggle. So these are the things like self-handling was a priority. Self-care was priority, but after 6 months, there were more distracting and tower-breaking moments that happened that got me into transformation phase. So it was like when everything was not working and my work job was also micromanaged, I was not at my mental peace. And that time I understood, I think peace was important. Health was important. You as a person were important.
Yes.
That was the first time in my life I understood, okay, I have to take care of myself because nobody around is there. When your mental peace is out, you cannot concentrate. How would you work? That time, meditation came to my life, and thanks to my friend, she said, meditate. I used to meditate and I used to cry. So there were like a lot of things happening in all aspects of my life. It was not clear. It was, I was not able to dance, and I didn't know why I was able to dance, because this would have been my hobby, but I lost interest. Then after those like 6 months of continuous crying, I wasn't even bothered about the job. I was bothered about if I am alive or not. Even. I was going through that phase.
Yes, of course.
And the day I left to find a job, that was the day the universe brought the job to me, exactly what I wanted. And I was like, can this also happen?
Wow.
Okay. Then my focus on meditation and the universe connection, everything enhanced. That was the day I realized, okay. People talk about connecting to the universe, that is true. So these were the lessons that I was learning. I was reading books. I have never had like read books that were not of my curriculum before ever in my life. I tried to, but it never happened. That was the time I was reading about consciousness. I was listening about consciousness. I was listening about who are you. I was asking the question, who am I? I was asking the question, what purpose do I have in my life? Because if you have got the job that you've always wanted, research and development, San Francisco, person's dream, then what is wrong with you? You have money also in your bank. Then what is wrong? I was not able to get the answer, what purpose do I have, because I never had asked the question what I want to do in my life. I was just going as a kid. I grew up, I went to the college, okay, engineering college. Then further education, I have never asked this question. So when I started to ask this question, that is when the universe came up to me. And I couldn't share that experience with anybody else because everybody would call me mad. In that depressive state, they were saying, they were not wrong, but they were saying, you should go out and you should do something which is joyful for you, but nothing was working. My mind was always stripped inside like, Niharika, what is happening with you? I don't know. There were days when I used to cry, I didn't eat anything. I was just laying on the bed and I didn't need to do anything. So when you are seeing yourself crashing in those days, you are really in a situation where you don't know where your life is taking. And you are away from your home.
Yes.
And there is no solution to it yet. So meditation was only my peaceful thing that was happening with me, or acceptance. So I have to accept those things. And that was not easy for me because I've always seen myself hitting at a certain goal. At that time, I was doing nothing. So doing nothing, it wasn't easy for me. Everything was crashing around me. Literally everything. Then when the universe came in, there were like certain phenomena. They were about signs and symbols. They were about synchronicities. They were about helping people being at right place at right time and helping people and saying those things which you never know inside. And I said, what is happening to me? I couldn't understand that. So I was linked to a guru and a friend who was spiritual. They started to give me this knowledge. The internet started to give me that knowledge. And I was asking my belief system. I was questioning it. So that was a phase where I automatic, automatically gave up on my eating habits that were before. Like, I used to eat non-veg, not that much, but yes, I used to eat. It automatically went away and I was normal. I was not able to dance. Mm. I gave that away. I was like, okay, never mind. If I'm not able to do this, okay. I lost interest in the job that I was doing. My manager knew something is wrong with Niharika because she was always pumped up and now she's not able to do the things that are being given properly. So I told my manager often, like, I think I'm made for something else, but I don't know it right. I have to move. I have to change the course. So the when I had questioned and I had answers, COVID was there and people needed help. And I was asking, how can I help? How can I help? That is how Karbala Hoto Hogan started. Because I had understood how powerful your thoughts are and how they can heal yourself, because they were healing me, actually. They were telling me that you are always connected to the universe. If you ask help, it would be given. So that is how Karbala Hoto Hogan started. And we started with certain workshops. And that grew with certain phase. And after starting that also, I was not.
So here we would like to know, Niharika, how did this name, you know, it's a very common but very unique name. Usually, I mean, people go for fancy names. So, you know, a very catchy name, Karbala to Hobala, came into your mind.
It was not my creation. It was given to me. So my guru told me, you should
put
this name for you. And I didn't know the meaning. I was just like, okay, do good and it comes back to you. But you know, in the last 3 months, I've discovered why this name was given to me. And I'll share you the reason. The reason is, irrespective the person is hurting me, irrespective the person is saying bad things about me, irrespective of they are good to me, I don't take those things at my heart. If the person, so it is about be always good, forgive them. They are not knowing what they are doing because they are also learning. I realize I am also learning. I've also done so many mistakes unconsciously. But I've not, my intention had never been to hurt the other person. Even if they are like discouraging me, not treating me well, no, I won't do that back. So that is why this name Karbala to Hobala has a meaning to my life, actually. I've been like this since my childhood and I didn't know about it. And
what do you do under this name? What is your entrepreneurship journey?
It's not created by an intent that we'll earn money or we'll do something with money with this. This has been a very recent idea because the need came to be an entrepreneur by this. But the platform is about to help underprivileged girl child. It is about to explore not yourself, but those mysterious experiences through which you're not getting answers. So there is like an illogical mind, there is a logical mind. When logical mind doesn't give you answers, how would you find answers in that point? Because your logic as a human and the nature's logic is not in sync. At different timings and they have different answers. So it is not a journey of exploring yourself, but while you're in that journey, you are lost. First of all, you don't know how to meditate. You don't have to meditate. It is also not you have to have that education of being consciousness. It is okay if you don't have. It is not like something it is not something that you have to be scared of. It is something that you have to embrace about you. It is teaching you, don't be fake. There is natural meditation. There is naturally connection to the divine, to yourself. And there are natural answers coming to you wherever you're lost. And even if you are a researcher, even if you are a scientist, this works for you also. So I, being a scientist at that time, I was questioned that you believe in science. Then why is this coming? So my belief system changed, right? So I had to advocate to people, like, belief system is evolving. So this platform talks about the unsaid things. Example, There are conscious children in the family of unconscious people. It is not their fault. But when they are living together or they are as a part of a family, they cannot blend in with the ideas and perspective that they have. So there are like arguments.
Correct.
There are like non-acceptance. So these certain kinds of things, or like, can a corporate world also incorporate spirituality? So Tengku always used his intentions, right, to choose something and to make a decision. So was he mad, or is it natural for him? Obviously, it is a natural thing for him. So logic is always not working. There are so many things which are illogical, but if you blend both of them together, your life will become more resourceful and you'll feel that you are powerful than you have never thought. So we work for these things, and we have those kind of people like linked with our platform. Our platform truly is not accepted by everybody, and they won't accept it also. That I know is a fact.
Correct.
Because they have not gone through those experiences which I have gone on the other people. So that is how the belief system is. So our belief system has changed because we have learned certain things, but it doesn't mean that they are wrong or we are wrong. So that is what Karbala is.
Correct.
And we also have like personal sessions. We go out to have sessions in education schools, like universities, especially to the young generations who are having these experiences, but they cannot talk about it to anybody because they will be just mad. Then we have like podcasts. We have like quote podcast, which is very unique podcast. It has like quotes, and we deliver messages in just like 1 minute. So everybody has 1 minute in their life that they can spare to know about themselves. So it is like created symbiont, I would say. Like everything is linked. Podcast is linked to our videos. Instagram is linked to our podcast. Sessions are linked to our videos. So everything is uniquely blended. So that is what we stand for. So, and that is what my journey has been transformed to a life coach. But I'm sure this is not the end. That is what I am sure. It is not, if you have seen me as a dancer, if you have seen me as a scholar, if you have seen me as a scientist, a biomedical engineer, life coach, you will see more things of me because I am myself asking who am I don't know. But yes, I
wonder.
The uniqueness, or I would say, my strength is I adapt things. I change, bring change with myself. Very naturally, which is seen as very natural on the outside surface, but I have to fight it within me. I have to shut that voice of my ego, like, why can't you do this? Maybe this is your journey. So
correct.
This is how I would say, like, this is why Karbala is.
Lovely, lovely. It was absolutely a pleasure knowing you, your story, your ups and downs that you've gone through. So before we move towards the end, we have a final question for you, Niharika. What message would you like to convey to those struggling to find their path or purpose
in life? I would say, embrace your struggle as a gift. Embrace your tears as a gift. Embrace yourself not being accepted to other people, that is a gift. Be aware of what you want in life and create if it doesn't exist. It is okay because you are here to create what others cannot. So you don't have to always compare also. It is your unique journey. Maybe you're not getting the results today, but if you are on the track and you are saying, okay, I can do this, bigger things can come to you after some time. So never lose faith in yourself or God or whosoever you trust in. And it is also okay if you don't trust in God. There has to be, or there has been someone where you have put your belief in. And
correct.
One thing more I would say is, whenever you see yourself crumble down, that is the moment you'll find yourself. That is when exactly you'll know this is what I have to do in my life. So even if you're not right. doing something in your life, you're just sitting down, accept that. Because at that moment, you are meant to sit down and do nothing, make no effort, not study, do nothing in the world. Because that stage, your mind is developing. Your belief systems are developing. So even if you're not doing nothing, you're not doing anything wrong, that is okay. There would be a time that will come that will take you automatically. But you have to go through that process of letting yourself down, picking yourself and walk again. Down, walk again. It is okay. Nobody has figured themselves out. You are one of them. So embrace yourself, embrace your uniqueness and voice up. It is okay to fight sometimes, but you have to understand it is not always okay to fight. So just be
correct.
There.
Yes, yes.
Cry, enjoy, eat, and live. Life is yours. Your plan is unique. Your gifts are unique. You are unique. And even if others are telling you that you are wrong, question, am I wrong? That will give you.
True, very true. I would definitely say that, you know, your podcast had brought a lot of enlightenment to all those who are struggling to find questions of where to go, where life is taking us, and where would we land up. I think this is a life journey that, you know, people can actually watch and learn about, that how anything which goes wrong, but actually that is in the right path, and that is something. This event is going to land up and take you to heights. So be patient, and most importantly, as even Niharika said, have faith in your own self and faith in universe, in the energies. Something in that universe is certainly working for all of us. So with that belief system, we end up our podcast at Passion Vista. This was Niharika. And thank you, Niharika. We had a great session with you. Thank you for joining us today. And your exceptional discussion, sharing your insights were absolutely awesome. We had a
thank
great
you
time
so much
with
and
you.
It was a privilege. And as I always say, I will always cherish this podcast and all the opportunities that I am getting. And it was so nice to talk to you, Dr. Neetu. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Passion Vista Podcast. We had this privilege of delving into the extraordinary life of Niharika Singh, a true testament to the power of passion and perseverance. Her story reminds us that every setback is a stepping stone to growth, and that authentic leadership stems from self-awareness and authenticity. If you find this podcast of any help to you, kindly consider subscribing to the channel for more of such content. And also do not forget to like and share this video with your family and friends. So stay tuned at Passion Vista Podcast and keep watching us.